Question for our listeners. Which automaker assembles the most vehicles in the country? Here's a hint. It's the same one that employs the most hourly workers in the country, and the answer is Ford. That's not a coincidence. It's a commitment. A commitment your local Ford stores share. And that is why Ford is now offering employee pricing across their full lineup of vehicles, which means you pay what they pay. So visit your local Ford stores today to take advantage of this great opportunity. Ford Motor Company. From America for America.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
If you're ready for a new job, let Express Employment Professionals help you. Express is already hiring for summer jobs in a variety of industries. Job seekers never pay a fee at Express. Go to expresspros.com to find your location. That's expresspros.com.
Danny Meringue.
Dusty Bun.
Dusty Hera.
I've been really busy trying to save the world from Russians and monsters.
This is Danny and Dusty on the Odyssey app and Portland's sports leader.
Of course you have.
1080.
I want to hear it.
The Fan.
Hour number 3 here on Danny and Dusty on a Thursday afternoon. We're listening on 1080M, watching along on YouTube.com/1080M in the Fan or Twitch.tv/1080M the Fan. We appreciate you, love you. Thank you for hanging out with us on this wonderful, wonderful Thursday. And we had an all-time basketball game. I don't care when it happened, but the fact that it was in the Eastern Conference Finals. Conference Finals, having a game this bonkers in Game 1 is just so crazy. And obviously Tyrese Halliburton's game-tying shot as time expires in the fourth quarter, pushing the game to overtime. What Halliburton does immediately, going and hitting the Reggie Miller choke, oof, knowing full well, and Halle said in the post-game with Ali LaForce, some people put it in my mind, like it was there. Having it in your head and being aware, Tyrese Halliburton knows how to play the heel. Dame time. Tapping the wrist.
Mm-hmm.
Chirping at guys. Doing WWE.
I wonder where he got it from.
Dad.
Going chest to chest with Giannis. Not a good life choice.
Who Giannis spent about 14 seconds deciding whether or not he wanted to make him just a paste on the wall.
That he is incredible with being the heel. And it actually is a skill and an art to
be the
heel.
Who is the last star heel we had? Because look, there's heels like Draymond and Dylan Brooks and guys that are irritating. Who was the last, no doubt, dyed-in-the-wool dude who was a heel? In college basketball, Duke's had a ton of them. Christian Leitner, J.J. Redick, like guys
those
who
aren't. Those aren't NBA guys.
No, I'm saying there aren't that many in the NBA that are stars that are heels.
Well, I mean, I think one of the greatest was Larry Bird.
Mm-hmm.
Larry Bird was obviously that. Reggie Miller was 100% that.
Danny Ainge was a pretty good heel, but we're kind of...
He wasn't
we're
a star.
Exactly. Not we're kind enough. Of fudging the star yeah. aspect there.
Yeah.
Barkley was an irritant.
LeBron tried it for a year.
Yeah, the heel turn in Miami. Yeah, then everybody went against him. He didn't like that.
Well, I like Kobe.
Yeah, grinding his teeth, hissing,
Kobe had
snarling.
No problem speaking his mind, and he was not. A lot of guys hated Kobe.
Was Dennis Rodman a star because of how big of a heel he was?
Yep. He was a no doubt Hall of Famer. Yep. Like, Rodman is a good one.
It's been a while. It's been a while since we've had like a...
Yeah, Kobe would probably be the last one. And even like, he at
Paul
the end
Pierce
of his career
tried to
not.
Be, but nobody took that seriously.
Because he pooped himself.
Yeah.
Look, that's a serious problem that plagues hundreds, if not hundreds of thousands of Americans every day, Jeff. Hmm. Maybe even millions of Americans every day. I don't know. All right? Let's not...
are we poop shaming?
Yes, Joe Paterno agrees.
That's right.
Oh, a little trouble.
You see? You never know. You never know when it's going to happen. I think Ant Edwards has the ability to be could that be. Guy, too. Like, he very easily could be that guy moving forward. Well, where do we put Harden and Westbrook in that? Like, Harden and Westbrook, they say out of
Russ,
pocket S all the time.
I don't think Harden was necessarily the heel. I think Russ was.
Yeah.
I think you could say Russ is probably, let's kind of just work through like our last couple title teams. Yeah.
Harden was just unlikable.
Draymond's the closest thing you get with the Warriors because Steph and Clay are squeaky clean.
But not a star.
KD's not a heel. He's just a weird.
Jimmy Butler, anybody?
Yeah, Jimmy. Jimmy, there you go. That's a good one.
I mean, whether it's to his own team or everybody
else. Everyone else. Yeah. So you got Jimmy. Jimmy's on that list. Celtics don't have any heels. The Jays, Drew, Kristaps, White. No, there's no guys there.
Check Jimmy out.
I mean, you think about those Spurs teams. Manu, TP, Tim,
no.
Robinson, like there's no real heel. Even Kawhi's a robot.
Again, Dennis Rodman.
Yeah, I mean, again,
but yeah.
Yeah, well. Yeah, but we have had stars that have been heels.
Mm-hmm.
But I think Halliburton is, look, Dame is one that like, he taps his wrist every time. He waves teams goodbye.
But I don't think anybody, he was beloved, not a heel. Like, Hallie's not beloved. He leans into the evil visceralness, very similar to Reggie.
Mm-hmm.
Very similar. Like, people loved Reggie.
Wait, Trae Young.
Oh, you know what? Yeah, with the Knicks. Perfect.
Well, and somebody just reminding us of the text line,
Trae Young taking a bow.
Ja Morant.
Well, Ja doesn't try to be.
Yeah. He wants to be the guy that's beloved, but he's not.
All right.
Trae's the good one, but Tyrese is better than Trae.
Somebody wants a definition of a heel, and a heel is somebody, in wrestling terms, that is the bad guy, plays up the bad guy role, embraces that bad guy role.
And that's the thing, is Tally has embraced it from the jump.
Yeah, but he does it selectively. Mm-hmm. Like, when you mentioned Dame, I don't think that people in Oklahoma City and Houston love and revere Dame like other places where he picks and chooses his times to do it. Halliburton does it, and he is focused on it too. Mm-hmm. Like, he did it at Dame. Like, if you give him a reason to, he's going to come at you, and he will give that business to you.
He mentioned it in the interview. It was in his head. Like, he knows how to play it up. It's performative. Like, for those that don't know, like, he does WWE. Like, he's been out there with those guys, and there was a situation where they had Brunson and Halliburton in the ring together.
Yeah. I think that Halliburton is definitely one right now, no doubt. But we have had these guys, and I think they've always been, and they have to be star players here, where it's like, you're not on the fringe.
You're
like,
not a role player.
You're a dude.
Yeah.
And unintentionally, a lot of NBA players do it. But Hallie, like Ja Morant.
Yeah, Hallie's intentional.
He is very intentional. Trae Young, very intentional. Russell Westbrook, very intentional, including the cupcakes, mm-hmm. right? Like, there are plenty of these guys that are super skilled and really damn mm-hmm. good, and they lean into that. And I think we have more. Like, when you first said it, I was like, yeah, who are they? But when you really think about it, there are more than we would acknowledge on the surface.
To me, the best ones you brought up that is the best combination of skill, production, and leaning into it is Jimmy. Trey's good. Mm-hmm. Hallie's better. Hallie's already light years beyond Trae. Well, significantly more
Jimmy
impactful.
Jimmy Butler.
Rudy Gobert.
We're teasing with that star word.
Okay. Yeah. But not even that. His is more like unintentional.
Yeah.
Like Trae and Hallie and Jimmy, those three, like that's the triumvirate of intentional heel.
That's how Jimmy Butler is fueled. He is fueled off of all of it.
Yeah.
All of it. Oh, that same texture. Thank you for the definition. Angel Reese. WNBA?
Yep. Yes.
Yep. He understood that assignment.
She does it, but here's the thing. Hers is unintentional because she doesn't understand she is the heel.
Yeah, she thinks she's the main character in the Caitlin Clark story.
Yeah.
That's the that's
Which is crazy. That's a crazy thing.
It is absolutely unhinged.
Because everybody is like, no, you are the heel. Yeah. And she's like, no, that's not true.
No, they're here.
Even Kim Mulkey was like, well, everybody needs a bad guy. And she's like, that's not me, though.
But that's the thing is
girl,
is,
you something else.
That's right, Kim.
But that's the thing with Jimmy, Tyrese, and Trey.
They know it.
They don't care.
They want it.
That was
Kobe too. Kobe did that. A texter says Kobe loved being hated, and he loved Portland hating.
Don't you remember the Nike commercial? Standing center court, booing, and him doing the orchestra, bring up the noise, and they had the Portland fans singing how much they hate him.
Yeah,
like that was part of who he was. That fueled him.
Yeah,
and I think Halliburton, and I think that the league is a better place. It is in a better space when they have those dudes.
Well, everybody wants good versus evil. That's why wrestling has the storylines that they do.
That's why you have the face and the heel.
That's why it was Magic versus Bird.
Mm-hmm.
And like it wasn't just that they were two great players going head to head. It was Magic was the nice guy with the $1 million smile, mm-hmm. and Larry was the hick from French Lick mm-hmm. who would play dirty and get
save
nasty.
His right hand for the Lakers because he could give you 40 with a left.
Yeah, yeah, and which one of you MFers is coming in second?
The one guy.
Exactly.
The one guy that bucked this whole trend because he had a $1 billion marketing machine behind him was Michael Jeffrey Jordan.
Yeah.
Jordan was the epitome of a heel.
Yeah.
But they never made him out that way.
They went the complete opposite way. I want to be like Mike.
It was a marketing machine mm-hmm. behind him that was like, we don't care how hard you try.
Nike and Gatorade, baby.
You are not going to be the heel. You are going to be beloved.
That man rocked a Hitler stash for a Hanes commercial.
Well, I think some of the thing with Jordan kind of escaping that too was that in his heyday, there wasn't a number two even close enough like to his talent and whatnot in the league where he could just kind of stay above it, all of it, and be like, I dare somebody to come and make me be the heel.
Well, the big rise of Michael Jordan, though, was knocking off literally an entire team of heels in the Detroit Pistons. And so when it was one guy who was questionable as the heel versus an entire roster, with the exception of Isaiah Thomas, of heels, like they were like, we're going to go with that one guy who's really damn good and can backpack a team. So he was actually the nice guy knocking off the Detroit Pistons, which everybody hated.
It's a nice little spot to be.
It's a great spot.
Yeah, I think it's a great thing for the league. And, you know, we talked yesterday about could the winner of the NBA Ooh. Finals be the new face of the league? This Pacers team feels like a team of destiny with what they've done so far.
Halliburton could be it, man.
If all of a sudden the Pacers, if you put a ring on Halliburton's finger in July, you might be looking at the new face of the league.
Ooh, good one. Allen Iverson, the jean sagging do-rag and gun toting dope smoking phenom.
Yep.
Like the lead of a SI article about him his rookie year. He's the jean sagging, do-ragging, gun-toting, dope-smoking phenom that's going to take over the NBA one cornrow at a time. And he was not afraid to be unapologetically Allen Iverson. I loved Allen Iverson.
Literally redid the dress code in the NBA because of him.
Yep.
It's interesting. All right, do the Blazers have their own heel? Well, they've got one guy who's joining a very, very, very short list of trailblazers. Tumani Kamara gets bestowed with an honor. We'll get to that next here on Danny and Dusty, 10 of the Fan.
Question for our listeners. Which automaker assembles the most vehicles in the country? Here's a hint. It's the same one that employs the most hourly workers in the country, and the answer is Ford. That's not a coincidence. It's a commitment. A commitment your local Ford stores share. And that is why Ford is now offering employee pricing across their full lineup of vehicles, which means you pay what they pay. So visit your local Ford stores today to take advantage of this great opportunity. Ford Motor Company. From America for America.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
If you're ready for a new job, let Express Employment Professionals help you. Express is already hiring for summer jobs in a variety of industries. Job seekers never pay a fee at Express. Go to expresspros.com to find your location. That's expresspros.com.
Going up.
Prices keep going up these days. It feels like being on an elevator that only goes up.
Going up.
But not at Metro. We're pushing the down button.
Going down.
We've lowered prices. Get one line of 5G data for $40, period. That's 20% lower. And you get a free Samsung 5G phone when you bring your number. Only at Metro.
5-year guarantee on eligible plans. Exclusions apply. See website for details. Not available at Metro with T-Mobile in the past 6 months. Tax applies.
Optimize your nutrition this year with Factor, America's number one ready-to-eat meal service. Factor's fresh, never-frozen meals are dietitian-approved, ready to eat in just 2 minutes. Choose from 40 weekly options across 8 dietary preferences like Calorie Smart, Protein Plus, and Keto. Eat smarter at factormeals.com/listen50 and use code LISTEN50 for 50% off plus free shipping on your first box. factormeals.com/listen50. Code LISTEN50.
For only the second time this century, a Portland Trailblazer has been named to an all-defensive team. It's a rare feat. It doesn't happen all that often. There's only 10 members of the all-defensive team, and obviously with the change to a positionless all-defensive team, it does, I think it obviously favors guys that are bigger. Looking at the all-defensive team, Lou Dort is the only guy under 6'6". On this team?
Yeah, but also Tumani Kamara making the second team all defensive second team is huge because of the fact that he isn't a traditional big and he's surrounded by him there. And like when they go positionless, it is to benefit the bigs. He's a guy that we've talked about ad nauseum here that he can defend 1 through 4 effectively.
I mean, you can even say 5. Like that's the crazy thing is like this, it's a guy that you can put on the best player on the planet, Nikola Jokic, and be like, he can hold his own. That the number of guys in the league that can do that, they're defensive player of the year caliber players. It's Giannis, it's Evan Mobley, it's Victor Wembanyama. Like,
I think it's bigger that everybody else is acknowledging that he is a great defender when the rest of the team around him is not.
Yeah, I mean, you look at the rest of the guys that made this list. You had 2 Oklahoma City Thunder players in Jalen Williams and Lou Dort. They were the best defense in the NBA. The Cleveland Cavaliers, they only have 1 guy in Evan Mobley, but Jared Allen's not a slouch behind him. And you look at that OKC team. You've got Caruso, who was not eligible to be on the all-defensive team for everybody's like, why didn't Caruso make it? Because he wasn't eligible. He didn't have the minutes played necessary to make the team.
Yeah. Or games played, right? Isn't it 65?
Yeah, he did hit the game threshold. He didn't hit the minutes per game because you have to have 65 games of like 18 minutes or more, 20 minutes or more. I can't remember what it's very dumb because it also kept Chris Dunn off the list too, because those are 2 guys that probably would have had a pretty good chance as well. But you take a look at that Thunder team. You've got Chet Holmgren. You've got Hartenstein. Like, you've got all these great defenders. And you talk about the Warriors. And, yeah, it's Draymond, but you've got a team of dudes. You've got Gary Payton II. You've got Pods. Like, you look at the Trailblazers, yes, they were better defensively. But you don't look at that team and, like, go, oh, my God, that's a defensive stalwart team. They're just big and physical, but it's led. It is a defense that unbelievably is anchored by Tumani Kamara and his defensive abilities and capabilities.
Well, having rim protection obviously helps too when guys are perimeter defenders.
Yes.
And Donovan Clingan and DeAndre Ayton both served as those in the front half for DeAndre and the back half Clingan to help Tumani Kamara, because you can take more risks and not be afraid that there's going to be an open lane to the rim.
And having a 6'9" forward behind him in Denny Avdia. Like, we've talked about this so much about why the Blazers have gone big. They're quite literally the biggest team in the NBA. Whether you want to talk about 6'8" Tumani Kamara or 6'8" Chris Murray or 6'8 Ryan Rupaire or 6'9 Jeremy Grant, 6'10 Robert Williams, 7' DeAndre Ayton, 7'3 Don McLean. It's a big freaking team, man.
Tall guys, good at basketball. I read that somewhere.
It's super helpful because even when you aren't a great defender, your margin of error is significantly larger. And you just look at these teams, and Dyson Daniels and Tumani Kamara are the only guys on the all-defensive team that made it on teams that were not great teams. And typically guys that make this team, you aren't coming off of non-playoff teams.
This will be the interesting part with Tumani, though. Is that, is this the ascension or is this the one-off for him?
Yeah.
Because you mentioned guys like Caruso, Victor Wembanyama is going to be healthy at some point again, and he will be on the all-defensive team, first team, and everybody gets pushed back one step. We've seen guys have the one-off year, but
the Blazers have one in Matisse Thybulle.
There are guys that they become the known as great defenders and they stick on these teams and they never leave them. And Lou Dort's a great example of this guy who finally got first team.
Yep.
He's been on the second team before, never been a first teamer. Like, he is a phenomenal defender. And there are guys that, and it's usually the guys that are on good teams.
Mm-hmm.
That's how you stay on these. And that will be the big question is Tumani Kamara. It's now based on, does the organization put enough support around him where if you're stamped as a great defender, you'll stay on that team for as long as you're in the league?
It's once you get in the club, you have to be, somebody has to beat you out to get out. It's like when you, sometimes you see guys that named All-Stars and you're like, come on. And then, yeah, it feels like maybe you gave him that one because he's been an All-Star for 10 years. It's like he's not an All-Star. Like he's definitely shouldn't be a starter. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. You get those kind of situations. Or, you know, a guy gets in off an injury replacement and you're like, okay. There's probably three other choices you could have gone with there. But it's a career achievement award. It's like once you get to the mountain and you're on that list, somebody's got to knock you off. Now, this year was a little bit different because you mentioned, obviously, Victor Wembanyama. Look, as long as that dude is healthy, he's going to win Defensive Player of the Year. Like I think he is so great on that end. He may actually buck the trend of the narrative awards and people getting tired of it because of what he does to a basketball court. It's unlike what anyone has ever done in the history of the league. And you just kind of have to recognize it. Mm-hmm. That's my hope, at least, because when I talk to NBA players about Wemby in the way that they talk about him like a mythical creature. Like, these are the best and the
well,
best.
He looks of like one.
Well, I mean, he like, you're talking, again, Jeremy Grant's a guy who, you know, not used to getting his shot blocked. It's a 6'9" guy with a high release. And I remember talking to him after the first time he played him. He was like, he blocked my jumper from 5 feet away, dude. Like, who does that? And, like, you're talking about guys that are the literal peaks of their craft and looking at this guy like it's nothing they've ever seen before. So is two ever going to reach that level? No. But can he make a first team? Yeah, and that's the thing, is to make that first team, the team has got to be great. You're not like, or you have to be like Dyson Daniels and do something that nobody has ever done, which is, again, I mentioned it in the first hour. His ability to generate steals and deflections is otherworldly.
It's pretty good.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's a good, like if you're talking about this Blazers season and why this stuff matters, these are markers that show you you're kind of on the right path. Donovan Clingan making second team all rookie, Tumani Kamara making first team all defense. It reinforces the stuff that you're trying to do.
Yeah.
Like that's when I look at this stuff, that's the thing that I take from this is like, okay, no, you don't have the star. And yes, you still have a lot of questions. And yes, you need to figure a lot of things out. But the things you're working with, the toys you have in the sandbox, they're pretty good. They're not the best yet. They're pretty good. And that's a lot better than you look at a lot of the other young organizations around the league and you go, they don't have that to work with. Like I was having this discussion with another media member the other day, and he was like, do you think the Blazers are in a better position than a lot of the other younger teams? I'm like, I think they're in a better position than a lot of teams think, than a lot of people think they are. Like the question was, do you think the Jazz are a better position? I was like, maybe. Like, yeah, they have a better player at the top end in Lowry and their draft capital, but the rest of their rosters, it's not good.
They're in a really good spot.
I think you can make a pretty easy argument that Portland's in a better spot going forward.
Oh, how so? Do it. I'm interested. Yeah. Because I think when you look at it and you say, Lauri Markkanen, Colin Sexton, Walker Kessler, the bevy of picks and draft capital.
I don't think Sexton's anywhere mattering in that. I think if you talk to the Jazz and people around the Jazz, yes, Walker, I think him and Donovan are basically on the same level. I think those are both guys you're going to be looking at in 2028 in Los Angeles for Team USA's big man for the Olympic team because of what they do, because they're so big and they control the paint and in FIBA basketball. You have to have those kind of guys. And Lowry is the best player among both those teams. I don't think you can really make that argument. After that, though, the rest of the Jazz roster, there's nothing there that they're even really looking at.
But the top-end player is better than anything Portland has.
Right now, yeah, for sure. I don't know if he's like, is he the one? Because I don't think he's the one. I think he's at best the two, probably the three.
But then you have the draft capital backing that up and a proven front office that has made deals
and over and over again. You just don't want to deal with because you're going to lose every single deal. And that is a trump card that you can absolutely play. But looking at what the draft capital they do have, with the Cavs being better and the Timberwolves being better, those picks now don't look that good. And remember, the Jazz traded three of those picks for that one 2031 Suns pick, which is juicy. But we're in 2025. That pick is 6 years out. And yes, you can use it as part of another deal, but like the value is there. I am not arguing that. But you take a look at the rest of their draft capital. Would you rather have that draft capital, or would you rather have the young guys on the Blazers roster right now? Would you rather have Tumani Kamara? Would you rather have Denny Avdia? Would you rather have Scoot Henderson? Would you rather have Shaedon Sharpe? And I think in that argument, I think a lot of people want to point to the picks because it's the mystery box, where the mystery box often falls significantly short of tangible product.
They also have, the fifth pick in this draft?
Yeah, and that matters for sure.
But like that.
But now, had they gotten the number one overall pick, number two overall pick, I'd probably be changing my tune. But that's the thing is that they don't. And that the fall off in talent from the top two and kind of going forward, that's a pretty big change.
But what is Portland working with? I mean, you mentioned Tumani Kamara, great defender. Mm-hmm. They lack scoring.
Yep. And shooting.
Stupid, pretty big problems to have, and you're just hoping for massive development.
Yeah.
I mean,
but I think with the Jazz, you're not even really hoping, because really with the Jazz, the only real prospect that I have higher level outcomes for is Taylor Hendricks, who could really figure it out. Cody Williams is an unknown. I'm certainly high on him during the draft
Hendricks
process.
Playing really well until he wrecked his leg.
Yeah, and that's the thing is how does he come back? Because we've seen guys come back from that, Paul George, and be okay. Yep. But we've also seen guys like Nurk, where it took so much out of them. And Taylor Hendricks being, 6'10", 6'11", you just don't know how he's going to come back from that. I love the idea of him as a prospect, for sure. But, and as much as I love Isaiah Collier, I think he's a really good bench guard. Keontae George, I think the sizzle on him has faded out pretty hard. And just does Kyle Filipowski gets you excited for anything?
At the end of the year, he played okay, played great. But I think that's what if this shows in Salt Lake City, they're having this conversation, they're going, they got guys who played okay at the end of the year that showed up.
I would take every one of Portland's young guys over Utah's.
Scoot?
Yeah, even Scoot. I'd take Scoot over Keontae or Collier. I think his floor is higher than those guys.
Yeah.
We talk about with Scoot with his shortcomings. He started to figure out his shooting. Go look at Isaiah Collier's shooting.
Yeah.
It's horrendous.
Yeah.
It's
an interesting conversation to have, but I think they're kind of in the same spot, but the draft capital in the high end talent pushes Utah over the top.
Yeah, I think the age part of it for me, if you're going to make the argument, it's Danny, because you look at his record of transactions and you just go.
Well, and having a player that's just better than anything Portland has. I mean, that goes a long way in the NBA.
It does. It absolutely does, which is why the Jazz basically had to quote unquote shut him down because he was just too good.
Yep.
And it kept them from being able to bottom out. But then when they bottomed out, it didn't work out.
Yeah.
It's like, ooh.
Yikes.
So I think it's an interesting discussion.
It is, for sure.
All right, coming up next, the Western Conference Finals Game 2 gets underway. What the hell do the Minnesota Timberwolves have to do to steal a game in Oklahoma City and make this a series. We'll get to that next. But first, here's the Big Kahuna Sports Center update.
I hear they got some tasty burgers.
Question for our listeners. Which automaker assembles the most vehicles in the country? Here's a hint. It's the same one that employs the most hourly workers in the country, and the answer is Ford. That's not a coincidence. It's a commitment. A commitment your local Ford stores share. And that is why Ford is now offering employee pricing across their full lineup of vehicles, which means you pay what they pay. So visit your local Ford stores today to take advantage of this great opportunity. Ford Motor Company. From America for America.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
Looking for a job is lonely. Endless searching, phone calls that go nowhere, applications that vanish into thin air. What if you could link with dozens of local companies who are hiring right now with just one connection? That's Express Employment Professionals. Find us at expresspros.com. One connection, endless opportunities, and no fees ever for job seekers. Express Employment Professionals. Expresspros.com.
Going up.
Prices keep going up these days. It feels like being on an elevator that only goes up.
Going up.
But not at Metro. We're pushing the down button.
Going down.
We've lowered prices. Get one line of 5G data for $40, period. That's 20% lower. And you get a free Samsung 5G phone when you bring your number. Only at Metro.
5-year guarantee on eligible plans. Exclusions apply. See website for details. Not available at Metro with T-Mobile in the past 6 months. Tax applies.
Optimize your nutrition this year with Factor, America's number one ready-to-eat meal service. Factor's fresh, never-frozen meals are dietitian-approved, ready to eat in just 2 minutes. Choose from 40 weekly options across 8 dietary preferences like Calorie Smart, Protein Plus, and Keto. Eat smarter at factormeals.com/listen50 and use code LISTEN50 for 50% off plus free shipping on your first box. Factormeals.com/listen50. Code LISTEN50.
Well, after an upset in Game 1 of the Eastern Conference Finals, Game 2 of the Western Conference Finals is underway tonight between the Oklahoma City Thunder and the Minnesota Timberwolves. Earlier in the show, we talked about the Mount Rushmore, as it were, as it pertains to the Minnesota Timberwolves and just how short that list goes, but it also shows you just how great Ant Edwards has already been for the Wolves, and he's already an all-timer in that franchise, and you can make a very easy case that he's already the second best player in franchise history behind Kevin Garnett. If you want to throw Carl Anthony Towns in there because of the longevity and kind of where
he sits.
Well, I'll
throw Kevin Love in there.
I'm sorry. Yes, Kevin Love, too.
Yeah.
But as far as like playoff performances and being that dude and showing up, when you're talking about stockpiling numbers, Kevin Love was like 20 and 15.
Yeah.
He was a rebounding machine. For a 6'8 white dude that couldn't jump over a roll of toilet paper, for him to be the rebounding savant that he was from the jump is bonkers.
He is crazy. He's gifted, is what it is. It's like, you know, that sixth sense that Walton always used to talk about, where when the ball went in the air, he knew exactly where it was going to be coming off the rim. And that's half the battle when you're rebounding.
It's the Rodman, you know, doing that whole thing. Like, it's the math. You just have the spatial awareness and how to seal. And you don't have to be the biggest guy in the league. It's why you look at a guy like Josh Hart. Is that for guards? It's like, why does Josh Hart continually lead the Knicks in rebounding? It's like, but it's because he just gets it. Like, he just knows where the ball's going to be. It's a talent. But you look at this Minnesota Timberwolves team this year, or this version of them, with Conley, Edwards, Jaden, Naz Reid, Rudy Gobert. Like, you just look at this and you go, they should be so much more impactful and so much less dumb. And we saw that play out in Game 1, where the dumb became overwhelming, the turnovers, the brain-dead minutes. And as much as that Knicks' big spurt in the fourth quarter, all of a sudden they're up 14, it didn't feel – I don't want to say it didn't feel real. I was talking to somebody about this last night, and I was like – again, just watching on my cell phone on the golf course, like I'm sitting there watching this and I just go, this doesn't feel insurmountable. When OKC does it though, it feels insurmountable. Like yeah. when they're so good.
I felt that it like Indiana was done last night. Like really? They looked like they were looking around going, damn. And then all of a sudden it just went pop, pop, pop. And they were hitting threes.
Everything.
And that's the thing with Minnesota that I just can't get over is that like there's for some reason there's this talking point of, well, Minnesota's not going to miss that many shots again. Do we forget what they did in back-to-back games where, what was it, 14 of 75?
72, I think.
It was insane. They've shot in the playoffs this year from three, 14%, 17%, 20%, and then 29% in game one. So to sit there and be like, they won't do that again. They've done it four times in the playoffs so far.
They've only played
11 playoff games. Like they have just as many games shooting under 30% from three as they do over 40% from three in the playoffs so far. That to me is like, you want to say, yeah, it won't happen again. We've seen it. And we saw it in back-to-back games. Remember the end of the Lakers series, the beginning of the Warriors series, when they shot 14% and then 17% in back-to-back games? Like, they can do it, and they can be deterred for sure at the three-point line in the whole, they're missing wide-open shots. Yeah, they're missing wide-open and contested shots. And look at what Indiana did. They were making shots with hands in their face. They were making the wide-open ones. They were making absolutely everything, and it turned the game on their head. Can Minnesota do that? Yeah, hell yeah, they can. But they've also shown us that they can't hit the broadside of a barn multiple times.
The really interesting thing that came out of game one for me is I'm sitting there watching the game. I pull up the box score alongside it, and it didn't feel like it, but Minnesota was plus 20 in three-point attempts in the first half. It was 28-8. And I'm sitting there looking at that like, are the Timberwolves a team that are going to shoot 63s in a game? Like, what the hell is this? Like, you've got Ant Edwards. Get the hell downhill, brother. Yeah. Yeah. Like, I know, like, the three is so valuable and the math behind it and all those kind of things, and he was incredibly high, led the league in volume this year on a per game basis. But at some point in time, man, like you're also the 6'5" running back with a 45-inch vertical that has some of the best dunks we've seen in NBA in modern NBA history. Get the hell downhill and put skinny Chet on a poster, dog. Yeah. Like it's got to become him getting downhill. It's got to be like Julius Randle couldn't miss from three. That should afford you some space to work with. Even if they're not changing everything that they're doing and they're saying we're going to make you beat us in three, at some point in time, it's got to come down to, you know, brass tacks, man, where 6'10" Jaden Daniels has got to get there on the backside and get some putbacks. Rudy Gobert can, like, we pick the players, you know, as far as who's going to be most important, you know, who would be most impactful for to win this series or win a finals. And Gobert went out there and laid maybe the biggest egg I've ever seen him lay. Was it 2 points and 6 rebounds in 21 minutes?
I will also say not getting a fast break point, singular point.
Yeah.
That also, to your rim pressure point, kind of meaningful.
There's just so many things that you can kind of pick out here where you just go, what the hell? But that's the Minnesota Timberwolves, and that's the thing that they have to beat. They have to beat the stupid.
Just beat the stupid.
Because on a talent perspective, whether it's Ant, whether it's Rudy, whether it's Nas, whether it's Jaden. I mean, we've mentioned all this. We haven't mentioned how god-awful Dante DiVincenzo and Nikhil Alexander-Walker were in game one.
Yeah, they weren't good.
They need to not be that bad.
Yeah.
Because
you're going to be okay.
Yeah. It's not one of those things where you look at game one, okay, so you just beat the hell out of them, and you go, I don't know what the adjustment is. The adjustment is don't be that bad.
Yeah. Oh, that's a good one. Seems like something that Chris Finch would actually say too.
Like, you know what I mean? Like you're watching the film and you're like, this is an open look. This is an open look. Guys, we're not that far off. We just need to convert the stuff that we're getting and not go brain neutral when things go sideways.
That is the bright spot of this whole thing for Minnesota, is that it's a 7-game series.
It's
you were supposed to lose at home or on the road. Oklahoma City's supposed to win at home. Mm-hmm. You're okay. If you can peel one off, now's the day to do it. And if not, you got to hold serve when you go back.
That's the point of this.
Dems the breaks.
And until somebody grabs that road game, you know, it's not a series until the road team wins. Indiana figured that out right away.
Eastern Conference Finals is a series.
So, well it's going to be very interesting to watch tonight as those teams battle it out. And honestly, I hope Minnesota gets a game here and puts the screws to OKC to see how they respond. Because we talk about that team and the scars that they're generating. This is where the scars become permanent. This is that spot. So it's going to be interesting to see where that goes. Well, you know, speaking of getting out of the way of the dumb, the Colorado Rockies, boy, they are inventing a level of dumb that we have literally never seen before in baseball. And anytime you've ever gone to the point of never been done in baseball, it's impressive. We'll get to that next year on Danny and Dusty, 10 of the Fan. Dusty, I don't know if you know this, but the Colorado Rockies suck.
Yeah, they're bad.
This is a note from ESPN, and this is a level of suck that is heretofore unseen. And when you're talking about MLB level of sucking, that's 150 years. If you guys are going to suck, suck hard. Which the Colorado Rockies, that should be their new team motto. Colorado's on pace to finish 74 games out of first place, which would shatter the all-time record. They're also on pace to finish 58 games out of fourth place in their division. 58 games out of fourth place in their division.
Good golly, Miss Molly, they suck.
I mean, that's just, this is bad for the sport. Keeping the suck train rolling.
Mm. Well, it is bad for the sport, but at the same time, the worst part about it is that they're not even intentionally doing
no.
it. They just are inept, and that's the worst part. Like, we've seen teams strip it down to the studs mm-hmm. and go, yeah, this is it. They're like, I guess we're trying. But they just had to shut down one of their rookie pitchers mm-hmm. who's left. He's on the 15-day DL or IL. That's not good
because
you're going to be pulling up somebody from the minors that they don't feel is ready. They're not ready. Their minor league system is not good either.
No, that's the insane thing.
Everything is bad.
You hear jokes around every sports league about, you know, this team or that team just being the training ground for future free agents. That's what the Colorado Rockies are. Like, every good player there, with the exception of Todd Helton, their prime years aren't there because they just want to get the hell out
Andres
of there.
Andres Galarraga?
But I mean, like, they just want to get out. Because it's
Nolan
so
Arenado.
Bad.
I mean, they traded him in his prime.
Yes. Holiday? Like, you just. Like,
I can't.
Tulo?
I'm looking at their roster right now.
Mm-hmm. Can't name anybody, can you?
No.
Yeah. Gobble up all of the suck.
There is not a single name that I'm like, yeah, I know him.
Mm-hmm.
That is wild. Boy, they suck. Like, are they really? It feels like it's major league.
Yeah,
I mean,
without all the fun and cheeky shenanigans.
Yeah, I mean, their catcher's doing all right. Hunter Goodman, it's pretty good.
That name sounds made up.
280. He's hitting 282. 31 RBI, 7 dingers.
I mean, that's pretty solid.
It's
pretty damn solid. On a catcher.
11 doubles.
Yeah,
like, yeah.
Damn.
He's doing what? Yeah, he's having a year.
All right, Billy Butler.
I have a feeling that pitch is just like, all right, man, like, we got to give him something.
Right.
I mean, come on, Hunter. You got this. Other than that, boy, they're bad.
Like when you talk about no hope, that is what you look up in the dictionary. That's what you see.
Yeah.
There is no hope for that team, that franchise, in the immediacy or the long term.
Yeah. That sucks for them.
That's just nasty.
I don't know. And last year, we're coming off a year where it's like we were having this conversation about the Chicago White Sox last mm-hmm. year and just how inept they were. They almost have twice as many wins as the Rockies have.
Yeah.
That's
and the White
crazy.
Sox at least have guys in the pipeline.
Yeah, well, kind of.
The last I looked, I thought the White Sox were in the top. I thought their farm system was like top 10 or top 12.
Is that like, in all honesty, they will end up in the playoffs like every so often the Rockies will. Mm-hmm. But they are a team that, if it wasn't for them being such a new team, right? Like 30 years.
Yeah.
That I think we would just forget about them existing.
They're the Minnesota Timberwolves of Major League Baseball.
No, you can name five good players that have played there.
Sure. But I mean, as far as
in the Timberwolves, you can't.
No, it gets very difficult.
Yeah. You can't even name the five best players.
I mean,
in Timberwolves history.
I mean, Rockies, you're going what? Helton, Arenado, Holiday, Tulo.
Yeah. Yeah. And that's, I mean, those are pretty good
Galarraga.
Players. Yeah. Those are good players.
Yeah. I mean,
can't name a good pitcher.
I mean, we just named off three Hall of Famers.
But you cannot, like, pitching?
No.
It ain't just because of the altitude, folks. Man.
And that's the thing is, like, you would think, you know, if they're going to suck that much in pitching because of the altitude and the things that come with that, you would think the hitting would be better.
Larry Walker, too.
Oh, yeah, Larry, yeah.
Larry Walker.
And their balls may come flying at your face.
Yeah.
That should be the, you know, that's how you get people in the stands.
Yeah, that's the slogan for the bleachers.
Yeah, you want balls in your face? Come to a game.
It's not the home team that's hitting them, but. Yeah.
I mean, those probably be worth more.
I think you guys are pulling in a different audience.
Hey, look, I don't know if you've watched a Rockies game lately, pulling in any audience, whether or not it's at the wrong establishment.
That's a great point. They just need any
just,
fans
you just
at
need
all.
To get them in. And it
One's
sucks.
About me, the other's about we.
Yeah. Mm. See? And it sucks because it's centrally located. It's right there in Denver, like smack down in the middle of the city. It's a nice stadium, beautiful view. Like, everything there should work, and it doesn't.
And their owners do suck. We talked about this a couple of weeks ago. They've got two very inept owners, the brothers.
Yeah.
I forgot their names already. But baseball's got a bit of an issue there. They got ownership issues with John J. Fisher, Pittsburgh, who is just completely aloof. Yes. Like, he has no idea that.
I want to go walk amongst the crowd. No!
No, bad idea.
Cincinnati?
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Where they said.
Both Florida
they said,
teams?
Where are you going to go?
Yeah. Poop Summit.
Yeah, they've got. It is a poop summit there in Colorado.
No,
maybe that's
baseball,
what we call the stadium now.
Poop Summit?
Yeah.
It is summiting.
Move over it's rock
at,
pile.
It's at Mile High.
Well, that's the meeting of the Reds ownership and Pirates in Colorado and the
A's. There you go. It's the poop summit.
You're not wrong, Pally. And remember the optimism about Orioles having new ownership? And that just is gone now. Like, they're like, all right, we hate these guys now,
Well, at least they spent the money.
Yeah.
That was like, that's the thing. It's like the Rockies and the A's and the Florida teams and Cincinnati and
Chicago.
They're not
White
spending.
Sox, that is.
And this is when we talk about ownership. The worst ownership is in Major League Baseball, hands down.
Not wrong at all.
Hands down.
Not wrong at all. All right, that does it for us for a Thursday. Coming up next, we got 4 hours of power from their mouths to your ears. It's primetime with Isaac and Sook.
Homeward bound.
What? Isaac is done from the long drive from Kansas.
Putting up the four for the 4 minutes of effort he's going to put into this.
From Salina all the way to Portland. No. I bet Rop was ripping off hot sports takes all the way on the drive. Yeah. Like, he was still hosting his show all the way.
Testing him out.
He's going to be dialed in today. Mm. He said on walkie-talkies, he had the CB radio. It was Rop speaking to a bunch of truckers all the way from Salina to Portland. Breaker 1-9er, this is Rop.
This is Rop, 69-420.
Was that fart drop in there? Yes, it was. All right, Isaac and Sook next. Have a great Thursday, everybody.
Bye.
Let it f***ing rip.
Question for our listeners. Which automaker assembles the most vehicles in the country? Here's a hint. It's the same one that employs the most hourly workers in the country, and the answer is Ford. That's not a coincidence. It's a commitment. A commitment your local Ford stores share. And that is why Ford is now offering employee pricing across their full lineup of vehicles, which means you pay what they pay. So visit your local Ford stores today to take advantage of this great opportunity. Ford Motor Company. From America for America.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
Looking for a job is lonely. Endless searching, phone calls that go nowhere, applications that vanish into thin air. What if you could link with dozens of local companies who are hiring right now with just one connection? That's Express Employment Professionals. Find us at expresspros.com. One connection, endless opportunities, and no fees ever for job seekers. Express Employment Professionals. Expresspros.com.
Going up.
Prices keep going up these days. It feels like being on an elevator that only goes up.
Going up.
But not at Metro. We're pushing the down button.
Going down.
We've lowered prices. Get one line of 5G data for $40, period. That's 20% lower. And you get a free Samsung 5G phone when you bring your number. Only at Metro.
5-year guarantee on eligible plans. Exclusions apply. See website for details. Not available at Metro with T-Mobile in the past 6 months. Tax applies.
Dollar Shave Club delivers premium razors without premium prices. Get close, comfortable six-blade shaves, swift rinse and four blades for thicker hair, and translucent shave butter for precision. Visit dollarshaveclub.com/homerun. Use promo code HOMERUN for 20% off.